You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central. I'm flying solo today. You'll see why in a minute. My usual partner and buddy, Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, is taking today off because what I'm going to talk about is something that doesn't need a lot of back and forth. It's more of a story. I am going, as Vince mentioned to you on yesterday's episode, this week's theme is what ifs, and I'm going to talk to you today about what I consider one of the biggest what-ifs in Dodger history, and it's more of a story for one person to tell than for Vince and me to try to go back and forth, so it's just me today. So that's the plan, but first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Okay, so this what-if, the short version is, what if the Dodgers had signed Luke Hochevar after drafting him in 2005. That doesn't sound super interesting, maybe, because who cares about Luke Hochevar? Let's just say that by the time we're done with this episode, we will have impacted the careers of Miguel Cabrera, Roy Halladay, and maybe a guy by the name of Clayton Kershaw. So it's definitely going to be interesting. Come along for the ride, will you? So, in 2005, the Dodgers didn't have a true first-round draft pick. Back then, the way that draft compensation worked with free agency, the Dodgers had signed Derek Lowe away from the Red Sox, and so they lost their first-round pick to the Red Sox. So they would have had number 26 overall pick in 2005, but the Red Sox got that pick anyway because the Dodgers signed Derek Lowe. So the Dodgers' first pick was the 40th pick, which was actually a compensation pick for the Mariners signing Adrian Beltre. So the Dodgers' first pick was 40th, and they picked Luke Hochevar out of University of Tennessee. He was expected to go higher in the draft, but there were concerns that he wasn't going to sign. He was a Scott Boras client. He, Boras has a reputation, and Hochevar was going to be demanding a lot of money, and everybody knew that. And so the Dodgers, they took a risk drafting him at 40th overall. He was probably a top 10 talent. But they drafted him, and it turned out that those signability concerns were well-founded. Hochevar and Boras haggled, and basically they set a price point beyond what the Dodgers were willing to pay. And then suddenly, in August, I think, couple months after the draft, Hochevar switched agents to Matt Sosnick. And within a day or two, they had worked out a deal. The Dodgers were going to sign Hochevar to a bonus just below $3 million. But then Hochevar reneged on that and changed his mind about switching agents, went back to Scott Boras, and said, never mind on that deal that we worked out, Dodgers, sorry. They kept negotiating, but ultimately the Dodgers and Hochevar never came to agreement. He did not sign. Instead, he was no longer eligible to pitch in college, so instead he went to indie ball and said, I will play in indie ball until next year's draft. And that worked out well for him. He ended up being the first overall pick in the 2006 draft. 2006 draft was interesting. Keith Law, who was a guest on this podcast a couple months ago, he had just started working at ESPN, and actually, like, literally right before the draft, I think his last day working for the Blue Jays was in May, and then the draft was in June. And on that draft day, Keith Law described the 2006 draft as having a weak top of the class. And, you know, this is not intended to dunk on Keith Law. As you know from my conversation with him, I really like Keith. He and I get along well, and he definitely knows his stuff. This is more to just kind of point out how it's funny that nobody knows anything sometimes, because that weak top of the draft in 2006 included Evan Longoria, who won a Rookie of the Year and is a borderline Hall of Famer. It included Tim Lincecum, who won back-to-back Cy Young Awards. It included Max Scherzer, who has won Cy Young Awards, is a Hall of Famer. It included Clayton Kershaw, who has won 3 Cy Young Awards and is a Hall of Famer. Brandon Morrow ended up being a really good reliever eventually. So there was definitely some quality there at the top of the draft. But at the time, there were questions there. And so going into that draft, Andrew Miller was actually the consensus top pick. He was coming out of North Carolina, and he was expected to go first overall unless signability concerns. Again, not signability, but bonus demands. Miller was expected to demand a big bonus, and he did. And that scared the Royals off a little bit. And they went instead, they picked Luke Hochevar with the first overall pick. They ended up paying Hochevar almost exactly what Miller got in a bonus. But they had a little bit more leverage over Hochevar because he had already sat out one season playing indie ball. And so a little bit more leverage than they would have had over Miller, who theoretically could have gone back to college. Nobody ever does, but you know, he could have. And so, so that was kind of the background there going in after Hochevar didn't sign with the Dodgers. He sat out and he ended up going first overall in the draft the next year. So I'm going to come back in a minute to tell you why I think this is such a big deal. But first, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar, as I've mentioned before, it is a protein bar, tastes like a candy bar. It's delicious. There's at least 16 flavors. I actually just noticed on BuiltBar.com just now that they have their cookie dough bar back for a limited time. It says when they're gone, they're gone. So, says hurry, once this is sold out, that's it. But as of right now, as I'm recording this on Monday night, the cookie dough protein bar is available. I might have to order myself some because there are not many things I like more in life than cookie dough. And if they can come up with a way of making cookie dough healthy for me to eat, sweet. But yeah, their bars, they've got nut options. They have nut-free options that are made at a different facility, so that's awesome. They're delicious. They have a lot less sugar, lower carbs than any other protein bar on the market, like 1/7 the amount of the sugar. They're lower in calorie. They have high protein. You know, for example, the peanut butter brownie bar has 20 grams of protein, only 170 calories, only 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. They have a lot of fiber. They're just delicious and healthy. And go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Keep it locked on, Dodgers. Okay, so I was talking about Luke Hochevar not signing with the Dodgers in 2005. Why is that a big deal? It's not because Luke Hochevar ever did much of anything. He did eventually make the majors, and he was actually pretty solid for the Royals eventually. It took a long time. Like I said, drafted first overall in 2006. He made it to the big leagues in 2007, but not for very long. And then he was a starter for the Royals and just nothing to write home about. It wasn't until 2013 when they made him a reliever that he finally became really good. And then injuries and ineffectiveness, and his career is already over. So Luke Hochevar is not the reason that Luke Hochevar not signing with the Dodgers is a big deal. But let's go back to this 2006 draft that I was talking about. After Hochevar went number one, the rest of the draft played out in an interesting way. The Rockies took a guy named Greg Reynolds. He made the major leagues, wasn't any good, but he was a Rockies pick. The Rays went with, or Devil Rays at the time, went with Evan Longoria with the third overall pick. Very good pick for them. He ended up being a really good player for them for a long time until they traded him to the Giants. With the fourth pick, the Pirates picked Brad Lincoln, who did make the major leagues, but wasn't any good. But at the time, he was coming out of University of Houston. He was expected to be good. Keith Law, in that same chat, said that he expected Lincoln to be, somebody asked him 5 years from now, what's going to be the best pick or look in hindsight, look the best. And he said it was Lincoln. Well, he said, so the question was, 5 years from now, who will be considered the best pick from this draft? And Keith Law said, that's a good question for me to wrap this up. Andrew Miller would be a good name, but I think Brad Lincoln will look the best 5 years from now. He will contribute in the majors relatively quickly because he's pretty polished, whereas I think Miller has the bigger ceiling, but will take longer to be a real asset in the majors. So the two people he brought up were Brad Lincoln and Andrew Miller. No mention of Tim Lincecum or Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer or any number of guys, Evan Longoria, who ended up better than those guys. But so Lincoln went with the fourth pick to the Pirates. The fifth pick, the Mariners picked Brandon Morrow. There's no reason to think picks 2 through 5 would have changed. But pick 6 is where it gets interesting. The Tigers had the 6th pick. They took Andrew Miller. What Law said in his chat was that the Tigers considered it a gift that Miller was available, and they would have taken Kershaw if Miller had not been available. So if Hoshevar had not been in the draft, Andrew Miller probably goes number one overall to the Royals. The Royals end up showing a willingness to pay about what Miller got anyway. They probably would have taken the best pitcher available. So Andrew Miller probably goes to the Royals with the number one overall pick, which means with the number 6 pick, the Tigers would have taken Clayton Kershaw instead of him dropping to the number 7 pick at the Dodgers. Dodgers had the 7th pick because they were lousy in 2005, and so they took Kershaw. But if Hoshevar hadn't been in the draft, Kershaw probably goes to the Tigers. That is why it's such a big deal. So let's look at what that means. If the Tigers draft Clayton Kershaw, you have to remember about a year and a half after the Tigers picked Andrew Miller, they packaged him along with Cameron Maben and sent him to the Marlins for Dontrell Willis and Miguel Cabrera. Big trade at the time. So would the Tigers have just slotted Kershaw into that trade for Cabrera? At the time of that trade, Miller had been in the big leagues for a little while, hadn't been very good, but he was still only 22 years old. But at the time of the trade, Kershaw was 19 years old and hadn't yet pitched in the big leagues. And so do they include Kershaw in that trade to the Marlins, or do they do somebody else, or do they just not make that trade? Does Miguel Cabrera stay with the Marlins instead of going to the Tigers? Does Clayton Kershaw end up on the Marlins in that trade? So many questions there. Then we look at what it means for the Dodgers. And if Kershaw's not available, well, let's look at who they might have taken. The best high school pitcher on the available after Kershaw was Kyle Drabek, the son of a former Cy Young Award winner. Drabek had some makeup concerns. He'd had a DUI and a car accident. He seemed to be a little bit entitled as the son of a big leaguer. Who knows what all there was. I've never met Kyle Drabek. I'm not here to judge him, but I sure can judge him as a ball player. And I'll tell you, he was not as good at pitching as Clayton Kershaw ended up being. So if you look at, Logan White, who was the Dodgers scouting director at that time, here are his number one draft picks, his first round picks between 2003 and 2010, not Clayton Kershaw. 2003, Chad Billingsley, a pitcher out of high school. 2004, Scott Elbert, a pitcher out of high school. 2005, Hoshevar, a college pitcher. 2007, Chris Withrow, a high school pitcher. 2008, Ethan Martin, a high school pitcher. 2009, Aaron Miller, a college pitcher. And 2010, Zach Lee, a high school pitcher. Logan White really liked his high school pitchers. And so in 2006, he took Clayton Kershaw. But if Kershaw had not been available, would he have gone with another high school pitcher? If so, it's probably Kyle Drabek. Well, Kyle Drabek instead of Clayton Kershaw is suddenly a holy crap. What did they just avoid? Drabek made it to the big leagues, but had a total of 172 innings pitched with a 5.27 ERA. I know that ERA doesn't mean everything, but when you're talking about Clayton Kershaw versus Kyle Drabek, we don't need to get too much into advanced stats to tell us that Kershaw worked out better than Drabek. Maybe they wouldn't have gone with Drabek. Maybe, you know, one report I read said that the next highest guy on their draft board was actually Tyler Colvin, who went later in the round to the Cubs. Tyler Colvin probably had a less distinguished career than Kyle Drabek even. He did end up with the Dodgers, signed a minor league contract in 2018, lasted a couple months before they released him. His career is now over. Tyler Colvin instead of Clayton Kershaw would have been much different. But going back to Kyle Drabek, one thing to remember, he ended up getting drafted by the Phillies. And the Phillies traded him to the Blue Jays in the Roy Halladay trade. If the Dodgers take Drabek, do the Phillies never trade for Roy Halladay? Or do they trade somebody else? You know, so many different things are affected by every little thing. It's possible the Dodgers might have gone with a college pitcher. Tim Lincecum and Max Scherzer, both available. Lincecum had size concerns. He's 3 feet tall, and a lot of people did not think that he was going to be successful. Keith Law in that same chat said that Lincecum's future was definitely in the bullpen. Scherzer had injury concerns. He was out of Missouri, University of Missouri, and there were injury concerns. So yeah, they might have gone with Lincecum or Scherzer. Obviously, neither of those is quite... right now, you might say you'd rather have Scherzer than Kershaw, maybe. But overall, Kershaw has been the better pitcher. And Scherzer took a lot longer to get things figured out than Kershaw did. Lincecum was a flash in the pan, came on really strong, but then his career was over about as quickly as it started. Obviously, Giants fans are happy with the World Series titles, but any objective view would tell you that Kershaw has had the better career than Lincecum. So, I just keep going back to Kyle Drabek. What if the Dodgers had drafted Kyle Drabek instead of Clayton Kershaw, and so they had Luke Hochevar and Kyle Drabek instead of Clayton Kershaw? Call me crazy, I will take Kershaw. I have no doubt that the Dodgers could have turned Hochevar into a better pitcher than he ended up being with the Royals. Maybe same with Drabek with the Phillies. But I think it's safe to say that neither of them would have been what Clayton Kershaw has been. And so at the time in 2005, the Dodgers were really frustrated that Hochevar reneged on his deal with them, did not sign. But in the end, it ended up being perhaps the best thing that ever happened to them, or at least since 1988, that Luke Hochevar and Scott Boras backed out of their contract agreement, leaving Hochevar on the board for 2006, which left Clayton Kershaw on the board for the Dodgers in that draft. And that is perhaps the biggest what if in Dodgers history. Maybe not the biggest, but it's definitely one of them. And it's one that I always enjoy thinking about, and thank my lucky stars that things worked out the way they did, because Clayton Kershaw is my favorite player of all time. And I'm glad that he's been a Dodger for his whole career so far. So thank you, Luke Hochevar. Thank you, Scott Boras. And as Garth Brooks said, some of God's greatest gifts are unsigned Hochevars. And that'll wrap it up for today. Thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't listen there, go ahead and subscribe to help other people find us. Please rate and review us if you have good things to say about us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those places. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart.
or hard and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!